For efficiency purposes, I'm going to ask Director Whitaker to chair the meeting. How about
Okay.
that? For efficiency purposes.
Got it. No problem. So with that, I call to order this meeting of the Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee. And with that, Madam Clerk, can you conduct the roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
I am present from 20 Civic Center, Santa Ana. Thank you.
Director Tran.
Present.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director.
Here, here. Thank you,
Thank
here.
you. Director Mesqua. Director Meeks. Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Wiegand.
Here.
Director Green.
Here.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you.
Kind of, your voice is a little soft.
Oh, mine?
Not yours.
Okay.
I think our secretary.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll make an adjustment there. And General Manager Kennedy, are there any items received too late who have been agendized for this
There are none.
Thank you for that. Visitor participation, if there's anyone who wishes to address this committee prior to getting into our agenda, see none remotely as well. So we will go to our consent calendar. We have a single item on there, the minutes of October 3rd of 2024 for this committee.
Move the consent calendar.
Thank you, Director Yeo.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, moved and seconded. With that, conduct a roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Sheldon. He's there. Director Sheldon.
This is Dina Nguyen. I can hardly hear the whole room.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
That
Yes.
motion carries 5-0.
Yes, I do.
How do we turn up the
We need
volume?
three scopes. I think it's hers.
The volume is fine on my end.
Right. Okay.
It is also fine on my end.
Dina, I think you need to turn up your volume.
I did that. It's on maximum now. I will sign out and come back in.
Okay.
Our matters for consideration this afternoon. The first is our state legislative update.
Well, good afternoon, Chair Jason Gonsalves. I will kick things off. It's no surprise to anyone. We're coming off of the election and the effects of the election from the federal government on down are continuing, or I should say not continuing, are being felt in California. Not the least of which this morning, Governor Newsom called for yet another special session to, quote, protect California's values, end quote. So we will see how what that thus far, the intent of that extraordinary session, other than perhaps political purposes, is to have the legislature allocate funding to state agencies so that the attorney general will be prepared to sue the federal government. So we're back to a post 2016, whereas California was kind of the resistance lead against then President Trump's first term. So we're starting to see some political effects, but just very briefly on the election results, as you know, there's still a number of seats too close to call, but it was a split ticket for particularly for a state that, and this isn't to be partisan by any means, but a state that has had mega majorities of Democrats for several election cycles now. You saw things like Proposition 36 repealing some of the former Prop 47 crime initiatives pass. You saw the affordable housing bond fail. You saw the minimum wage fail. And then what we saw in the legislature, the Senate, started with 31 Democrats, 9 Republicans. They could drop to 29 Democrats, 11 Republicans. Still two races yet to be determined, but they'll still have the 2/3 vote. But there was definitely some changes. And same thing in the assembly, starting with 63 Democrats and 17 Republicans, that number could drop to 60 Democrats between now and maybe we'll know by Thanksgiving. But the point is, some of the movement we saw with voters, particularly Latino voters out in Riverside County, was not lost in California. Just as a quick example, Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia's seat, Imperial and Riverside counties, the Democratic nominee is down by a couple thousand votes to the Republican challenger. That seat has not been Democratic as long as I can recall. I remember when Dave Kelly was out there, but it was a much more conservative district. So long and short of it, there was a little bit of a message, depending on how you want to interpret it, but there will also be a little bit of change comes in Sacramento post December 2nd or 3rd when they're sworn in, and we'll have 35 to 37 new members of the legislature, as I've previously reported, coupled with 37 new members from 2024. We're going to have 70 plus members of the legislature that will have served 2 years or less. What that means is we'll have new committee chairs, new vice chairs, and a lot of work to do to tell the OCWD story. But with that, I'll stop there. I'm sure Director Tran misses his days in Sacramento with now yet a second extraordinary session on the horizon. So happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I do have a question, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure. Any expected changes with the leadership for both chambers, given the new makeup of the membership?
Leadership, as far as the speaker and pro tem, Director Tran, I don't see any anticipated immediate changes. I would note Senator McGuire is in his last 2 years of office, so there may be a pro tem change within the 2 year session. They didn't lose enough seats to have what I would expect to be major fallout, but from leadership on down, the speaker pro tem and others, we will see changes. Some of the lieutenants of the speaker.
Sure. And of course, all the chairmanships will be reshuffled.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments by members of the committee?
Do you know how Calvert and Valadeo are doing?
Of all the targeted, again, I don't want to step on Eric's toes, but last I had seen as of 7:30 last night, of all the targeted, and this is kind of the split ticket where you had the Vice President Kamala Harris win 60%+ of California, every targeted Republican House seat, the Republicans are up. Valadeo is up. Scott Baugh, that wasn't a targeted seat. That would be a pickup. Scott Baugh is up. Calvert is up. The one that on the Democratic side that is holding serve, and it's a Democratic seat, is Josh Harder. He's up by a couple thousand against Kevin Lincoln. But for the Republican targeted congressional seats, they're all up in too close to call margins.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I just had a question about the Orange County delegation. Obviously, there might be one new state senator, but as far as leadership or any committee assignments go, do you see any reshuffling there that would affect any of our legislators here that, to tell the OCWD story? I know you mentioned there'll be a bunch of new legislators or those with less than 2 year or 2 years or so experience. But as far as Orange County goes, do you see any changes in any of those related to water or anything that might be reshuffled?
You're absolutely right. It looks like there will be a new state senator. Senator Newman is trailing former Assemblymember Stephen Choi, as you know. Senator Newman had a committee chairmanship. This is not a slight of former Assemblymember Choi, but he will not get a committee chairmanship being part of the Republican caucus. Still will be an effective legislator. Cottie Petrie Norris is still in a too close to call race. So whether that changes, that would obviously affect the delegation. And then I think just generally speaking, I would expect we'll see with new members coming in, we'll see committee assignment shakeup and potential opportunities for the delegation to be even in a better position.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Don Gilbert. I can add on to the state report if you'd like.
Sure, Don. We'd like that. Thanks.
Okay. So one, just to the last question, which Jason answered very well, I just add one other thing, which is Senator Min was chairing the Senate Natural Resources and Water Committee, and he's out regardless. So that would be losing a chair there. However, candidly, I don't know that he was, you know, the end all and be all for OCWD. I'm just being honest. Anyway, my report, just following Jason's excellent report, one addition to the election is Prop 4, the known as the Safe Drinking Water, Wildfire Prevention, Drought Preparedness, and Clean Air Bond, and anything else you want, I guess. $10 billion bond. That easily passed, which is consistent with California's the electorate's history, 58% to 42%. And so again, that's for water, wildfire related issues, projects, drought, and clean energy. It's probably the most reliable source of funding, especially with the budget still down for, you know, these types of projects. And wouldn't be surprising if we end up pursuing some funding for OCWD projects in 2025, more likely in 2026, by the time probably the bulk of the money becomes available. So just wanted to note the passage of that bond, which would probably provide opportunities down the road. And I, too, am happy to answer any questions.
Yes, thank you, Don. Any questions or comments? Any attendees or virtually? Seeing none, I think these post-election reports are especially valuable, so thanks for that contribution. And with that, we'll move to our next area, which is the federal
report. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to go get some Band-Aids because Jason stepped all over my toes. No, I just couldn't miss that opportunity. I'm quite impressed, Jason. You're spot on, but I'm going to add a little color to it. Let me talk very quickly about the election returns or what they mean or right now, and then I'll get into some quick substantive issues for the lame duck we expect. So as Jason pointed out correctly, you do have Scott Baugh at about 2,000 votes. He's been at 2,000 votes ahead consistently. We expect that he'll be in D.C. as a freshman member, and the rest of the delegation came roaring back. And the other seats that Jason did mention, they continue to stay consistently ahead of the challengers. So I think the overall Southern California congressional delegation remains static, with the exception of Scott Baugh coming back to D.C. And that's good because we had about 77 odd members in the House that either retired or went off to seek another office. So there's going to be a lot of vacancies and committee positions and members rising higher on the ladder of seniority, and that will impact the delegation. The other thing I would mention is that there are going to be a number of slots open on Energy and Commerce Committee and Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And that may present an opportunity for Scott Baugh to sit on the committees that have impacts on PFAS if he so decides that he would like to sit on those kind of committees. Generally speaking, if you're asking how's the House going to end up as far as control, it will be Republican control. They haven't called it yet. There are 39 seats remaining to be called. 205 seats have already been called for the Republicans. You need 218 to have a majority in the House of Representatives. We expect when the dust settles, there'll be about 222, maybe 223 Republican seats. Give Speaker Johnson and Majority Leader Steve Scalise the opportunity to have a little bit of breathing room in the House to get legislation through the House floor. In the Senate, no real changes. Adam Schiff won the Senate seat. That's not a surprise when it comes to this California. With respect to majority switching to Republicans, probably looking at a 53-seat Republican majority. They will still have the filibuster, but I will say, looking at substantive issues next, the president-elect has already made it clear that he wants to use what's known as reconciliation to move in the first 100 days budget policy priorities. And that's important because that requires only a 50+1 vote to get legislation through the two chambers. What does that mean? In the Senate, no opportunity for filibuster effectively. So I think the first 100 days of President Trump's, or say President-elect Trump / President Trump tenure will be very, very busy. We'll see tax cuts. We'll see policy changes, what have you. Speaking about after day one of after inauguration, fully expect the president to issue his series of executive orders. I'd be surprised if we don't see what's referred to as Schedule F, as in Frank, that will recategorize a number of federal positions from career civil service to positions that they can terminate it. Last time President Trump tried to do this in the waning hours of his administration, he identified about 600 positions at EPA could be recategorized and then terminated. So I think we're going to see at the federal level of the executive branch a lot of, call it personnel activity, also in the first 100 days. And then finally, this impacts the issues of PFAS and what have you. We probably going to see a lot of efforts to put on hold any guidance documents that have been issued on PFAS, and then perhaps reinitiating the rulemaking process on PFAS standards. Although on that one, that's a very prolonged effort to undertake because the rule's already finalized with respect to the MCL. But I don't think you can underestimate the priority to go in and reexamine all these rules that have raised issues of concern. As far as the lame duck goes in Congress, biggest issue is going to be the fiscal year 25 spending bill with your earmarks that are in there. We are hopeful that the Congress will say, we've got to get these budget items cleared so we have a clean deck for FY 26 spending, which is the reconciliation process I talked about. If they get it done, they've got to get it done by December 20th. If they do not get a final spending agreement done by December 20th, we probably are looking at a March deadline to finalize the 25 spending numbers. And at that point, I have to say a cautionary note. It's unclear whether earmarks will survive just because it becomes an uncertain mess. But right now, we're guardedly optimistic that they're going to get the final spending bill done by December 20th, and your earmarks will be in those bills. PFAS during lame duck spoke with the committee staff in the Environment Public Works Committee. 1% chance that they'll do anything. But the incoming chairwoman, Shelley Moore Capital from West Virginia, her staff have informed us that they will move expeditiously, starting with op-eds from the committee chairwoman on the importance of liability protection as well as funding for PFAS cleanup. They will start having efforts to bring a markup to the committee on PFAS issues as quickly as possible. So I'm optimistic that we will, after too many delays, actually see something start on PFAS liability in the Senate. Beginning in January. And then finally, reorganization issues will be happening in Congress in the lame duck, committee assignments, chairs in the Senate will become Republican, ranking members will become Democratic. Senator Padilla will retain his leadership role on Environment Public Works as a ranking member of the subcommittee on clean water issues. With respect to Senator-elect Schiff, who knows what he's going to take? Unclear. But when it comes to issues of concern to the water district, whether it's water recycling, water supply reliability, PFAS cleanup, you do have Senator Padilla sitting on the Environment and Public Works Committee and also sitting on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee dealing with issues of concern to you. And then on the White House transition, I anticipate in the next coming weeks, you will start hearing about who is going to be nominated for cabinet positions and agency positions. I think it'll be a very quick process. We have heard a couple of names for EPA, the possibility that Andrew Wheeler will return, although there is also the possibility, and this one is in the category of massive speculation, but that David Barnhart, who was the Interior Secretary under Trump's first administration, is possibly under consideration to be at EPA. And the logic of that one is that he wants to go over there and get rid of regulations that are considered onerous and not necessary. We just have to wait and see. But I think you can anticipate a return of a number of folks who have remained true to the Trump administration's priorities, at least in a transition role, if not in some formal role in a second administration. And then I think finally, California water in general will be front and center in the next Congress. They've got to deal with a lot of issues that are plaguing the system. As Jason said, your governor has issued a number of statements about protecting California from the Trump administration. So I think there'll be an equal pushback in Congress to deal with issues related to California water. So, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the report. Any questions or comments at this point on federal issues? Oh, sure. Go ahead, Alicia.
So, Eric, with the change, do we have a better outlook for the PFAS liability protection that you mentioned? I know that it was getting hung up during the last Congress. Do you think next Congress will be more bright?
So I've been burned so many times by making predictions. But I will say to you that there's a real value in having unified government on these kind of really wicked, sticky issues. And so I'm guardedly optimistic that we have the right, first of all, we have the right people in the Senate Environment Committee to push the legislation through. We have the right people in the House of Representatives. And more importantly, we have bills that will be reintroduced that provide for PFAS liability protections. So, yeah, I'm guardedly optimistic that they're going to try. First of all, I'm absolutely certain they're going to try and do something, given the committee staff's statements. And second of all, I think they've got the votes to push it through.
Thank you.
Eric, I think it's interesting to see, once again, that California is shifting into the pro-states' rights arena, right?
You know, it's what you call, Bruce, situational awareness.
Very well.
If they change some of the mandates on PFAS and everything, what will happen to the grants to help pay for the work that's already been done on PFAS?
I do not see the funding for grant funding for cleanup of PFAS disappearing. I don't think that's a concern.
Okay.
Because members, let's be clear, members in Congress write the budget. The president, regardless of the party, they send their budget up, and 9 times out of 10, the members in Congress, irrespective of party, say, not so fast, and they start reordering things. I don't see PFAS cleanup levels dropping, I think everybody acknowledges that they have to clean up the groundwater.
Okay.
And I also would parenthetically state that we will see more money probably in research or technology demonstrations for destruction of PFAS.
Anything further from members of the committee or other attendees of this meeting? Seeing none, thank you very much for the federal report. We will move to item number 4 on the agenda, the Children's Water Education Festival update.
Thank you, Dr. Whitaker. We have Danny Birch, who's going to provide an update.
Thank you, Jane. And hello, everyone. So I will give a quick update on the Children's Water Education Festival, starting with a little bit of a recap. It is our largest event at OCWD, and this year will be the 28th annual festival. It's a structured field trip for third, fourth, and fifth graders from all across Orange County. And since it started, we've had over 152,000 students attend. Also, as a recap, this year we will be going to a new location, Oak Canyon Park, and it is owned and operated by our event services provider, James Events, so we really trust them and are confident in this location. And with the new location, we have a new date of April 23rd and 24th, and it's okay. And you can see on the right the press release that we put out to kind of announce this new location and just talk about the festival as a whole. So we opened registration about a month ago on October 8th, and that's for teachers, presenters, sponsors, and volunteers. We kind of phased the outreach for each group based on when they typically tend to sign up. So starting with teachers, we reached out to about 1,500 teachers for 2025. And with that, we have 5,900 students registered to attend so far just in a month. So you can see from 2023 to 2024, we've kind of been trying to bounce back since COVID. And then we see that substantial growth continuing for 2025. We also already have 29 presenters committed to present, and we have $10,000 in sponsorship already raised. So a little bit of the specifics for the schools. You can see on the left all the different cities that we will have schools attending from, and all director service areas are represented by at least a school or two. And then on the right, you can see the different dates that we have, the Wednesday and Thursday spots. So on Thursday, we have reached our full capacity, but on Wednesday, we're continuing to reach out to schools to try to get those numbers to kind of line up. And we also have public and private schools and even a couple of homeschools signed up. As for presenters, these are all the presenters that we have committed so far, so 29 total, and we have 7 different departments from Orange County Water District leading booths. So with that, we will just continue to solicit different schools, new presenters, sponsors, and really as we get closer, when volunteers tend to sign up, we'll start to recruit them as well. And we're going to continue the meetings that we have with Disney and James Events and continue to update you along the way. And that concludes the presentation, unless there's any questions.
Yes, thank you. It's looking promising.
Yeah, it's great. Excited. Yeah. Thank you.
Give people a chance to see if they have a comment. I'm not seeing anything yet. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate the update.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll go to item number 5, which is Public Affairs Outreach Report for October 2024. Gina?
Yes, thank you, Chair Whitaker. So the information is contained in the packet. Just wanted to highlight a couple of things. I'm sorry, I'm so bad at this presentation sharing today. So we continue to have a really robust tour program, and I did want to note that, you know, the videos that we've produced for the tours, both the technical and the general, we have more than 15,000 views of that, so that's continued to do quite well. And we did have 3 press releases that we got out, which did help with some of the media activity. And then we do continue to do chamber outreach. So every month we do try to hit at least 1 or 2 events throughout our service area. to monitor issues and also to bring OCWD information to those groups. So you can see here our media engagement for the month of October. We had a 42 million reach, and that was largely due to some of these articles that came out. So you'll see Director Whitaker was on a PBS special, and that was through SAPA discussing cloud seeding. We had an NPR article as well as Megan featured most recently in the show Mission Unstoppable. And then we had a few more here. We did have Mayhole on a podcast speaking about water reuse. So all of these really helped to boost the media numbers for the month of October. For our social media, we continue to have more than almost 19,000 across all channels. We continue to feature our employees who do quite well.
Can we show this one? The
it's not the video link, but I can pull it up after.
Oh, okay.
We'll pull it up after.
Or can you
We can send it out to the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can only see it on the phone. For some reason, it won't come up where we can see it.
So we can absolutely send a link to the board if you didn't see it.
But it got blocked here. That's why we couldn't do it. We kept trying and it kept getting blocked.
Interesting.
I guess
we'll have to. Ask Bruce. But we'll send that out. That is our most popular post on Instagram. It was really good. We had all of these employees. Janice was one of them, Letitia, Yadi. So we are getting a lot more staff engagement, and they like to participate, and that really helps our engagement and our numbers.
The one that you did in your department was darling.
One did well, too.
Just darling, and other people, I just happened to be at another meeting and brought it up. They said, "What's that?" And everybody's looking at it.
I was getting texts about, from external agencies about the thriller video as well. So Crystal continues to manage the social media with Danny and is doing a great job. Bringing in trends and employees. The other one that did really well, we had 6,000 views, was at the Anaheim. So I know Director Weigand and Director Green were at that event, and we had a brief video. And Director Meeks, thank you. Mm-hmm. So that one did quite well, as you can see. Our webinar for October, that was one of our quarterly webinars that did well. So that was Lisa and Cheryl, along with Ruki, and they were talking about some of our the digital twin project that they're going to have out there at Prado. So that did well. And then we continue to get hits on that through recorded views as well. That's posted on our website. Our groundwater adventure tour, we're happy to report that went quite well. And Director Green was there to welcome guests in the morning. We had more than 100 participants, and we showcased our groundwater replenishment system, our water quality folks here, as well as Recharge and Prado. And then this is a photo of the Linda Vista treatment plant as well. That event was October 22nd. So we don't have any other events on the books for highlighting our PFAS facilities. I do know there's interest from Santa Ana, but nothing scheduled so far. And then one of our press releases for this month was regarding the Special District Leadership Foundation, the Transparency Certificate of Excellence. So just wanted to acknowledge that award. And that's it.
Congratulations on that. And I know how much work. I never knew it was going to be that much work.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Looks like our outreach is doing very well. And seeing nothing else, that was the last item of our agenda. So I would direct that items number 2 and 3 be agendized for our consent calendar on our November 20th board meeting. And with that, are there any directors' announcements or reports today?
No announcement here.
Okay, thanks. General manager's announcements or reports?
I just want to mention December 5th is our next scheduled meeting, but because we'll have at least 5 board members at Aqua, that meeting has been canceled. Then the next meeting after that is January 2nd for this committee, which might be, we'll keep it on the books for January 2nd, but I'll probably talk to the chair to see if that meeting is necessary.
Are you afraid everyone would be blurry-eyed or something?
I'll talk to the chair a week before to see if we keep that meeting. Yeah. That's all, yeah.
Okay, if that's it, we are adjourned.
Okay.